Amen. Amen. I was telling the guys this morning, they, of course, they were having a good time with my last name this morning in the prayer room. We were supposed to be praying, but anyways, we weren't praying. Well, we did get to praying, and we needed to get to praying. No, I'm teasing, but anyway. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 33 this evening, and yes. Of course, my mom is a lot. She's also a wife. She's Lot's wife. My wife is a Lot. She's Lot's wife. I just keep telling my wife, no turning back, no turning back. You know? If she turns back, she gets a salty disposition. But anyways, there's a lot of jokes, and I've heard them all. I told the guys this morning, I said, bring them on. I've heard them all, amen. I've been a Lot for 44 years. I've heard them all, amen. And we're unlike the guy in the Bible, by the way. We have two T's in the last our last name. We actually probably are related to him, but we just are ashamed of him, so we added a T onto the last name. Anyways, Exodus chapter 33, good to see you in the Lord's house this evening. Look at some things I trust to be a blessing to you. And on Sunday School Hour, we gave you some principles that I hope would guide your life in 2019. And if you were not in this class, not because I preached it, but because they're so true and so helpful, I hope you go back and try to find those six principles that ought to guide our lives. Those have really helped me, and I trust that they would you as well. This morning's message was kind of a challenge, for the new year, and I trust it was a blessing to you. This evening, more of a prayer. I believe this ought to be a prayer on every one of our hearts, and trust the message will be a blessing to you this evening. Exodus chapter 33, let's begin in verse number 12. And the Word of God says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." For a few moments this evening, I want to preach on this thought, knowing the ways of God. Knowing the ways of God. Moses here in Exodus 33 is facing a tremendous task. How many of you, 2018, turned out just like you thought it would turn out? Would you raise your hand? Not a hand who goes up tonight, right? We are each year faced with things that are unknown, and they're tremendous tasks, aren't they not? They are. And Moses here is that. He is to take the children of Israel all the way through the wilderness into a land called Canaan, the promised land. And faced with that tremendous task that God called him to do, with many things unforeseen and unknown, just like you and I tonight, many things in 2019, if Jesus tarries his coming, are unknown to us, correct? That we don't know. But this is a prayer that Moses prayed, and I hope not just repeating words, but truly from our hearts, this will be our prayer. And it's in verse number 13, where Moses says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight," notice this, "show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Now, may I say to you tonight, by way of introduction, that there is two ways to be acquainted with God. There are those who know God's works. They know what God does. But then there are those who know God's ways. They knew who God is. Moses did not say in verse number 13, "Lord, show me your works." He had already seen plenty of God's works. He'd already seen God do plenty of things. But he said, "Lord, I have a tremendous task to do, and I want to know your ways." And God answered that prayer. I taught our church the 13 plus years that I pastored. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And don't turn there, but Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." You see, Moses knew God's ways. Israel knew God's works. They saw what God did, but Moses knew something that the children of Israel did not know. Remember, there are two levels of knowledge about God. Those who know God's works and those who know God's ways. Those who know God's ways see insight into God's character. And may I say to you, to know God's ways will bring peace in a troubled world. And God knows we live in a troubled world, don't we? We do. The ways of God will bring peace in troubled times. Listen, if you just live by the works of God, friend, you're going to be in trouble. How many of you would say, God has done exactly like I thought he would do in my life? Not a hand goes up. Right? We cannot live by God's works. We must know God's ways. So for a few moments this evening, I want to preach on that thought, knowing the ways of God. And first of all, tonight, if you're taking notes, the difference between knowing God's works and knowing God's ways is the difference between rest and relapse. Rest and relapse. Look here in verse number 14 of our text, look at verse 14. Exodus 33, look at verse 14. And he said, God says, my presence shall go with thee. Notice the next phrase, and I will give thee rest. Now, if you know anything about Israel, they never had rest. They never had rest. I mean, you know why? Because they lived by the works of God, not the ways of God. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hold your place here and turn with me to Hebrews 3. I said a moment ago, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And God here in Hebrews chapter 3 is giving us commentary on Exodus 33. All right, we have the best commentary in the world. God's commentary on Exodus 33. God is here is commenting on the passage we just read. And here's what God said. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and if you underline in your Bibles, maybe you ought to underline this, and saw my, what's the next word? Works, 40 years. They saw my works 40 years. Now for 40 years, Israel had wandered in the wilderness, and they saw the works of God. Now look at verse number 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Notice the next phrase. And they have not known my ways. Verse 9, God says, you knew my works. Verse 10, you didn't know my ways. And look what God says in verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You know why they didn't have rest? Because they lived by the works of God, not the ways of God. Moses said, Lord, I want to know your ways. God says, all right, Moses, and I'll give you rest. Israel knew God's works, but they never found rest. You see, to know God's ways is the difference between rest and relapse. You can see and know God's works without knowing his ways. The land of Canaan represents the believer's rest. They were to have rest, but they never found rest. And you see, those who live by the ways of God, who know the ways of God, will not find a once a week rest. They'll have a 365 day a year rest. Every day can be a day of rest if we know the ways of God. Now you say, preacher, how do we know this? And maybe why don't we have this sometimes? Well, there's no blessing without obedience. There's no obedience if there's no trust. There's no trust if there's no love. And there's no love if there's no knowledge. You see, if we know God, we'll love God. If we love God, we'll trust God. If we trust God, we'll obey God. If we obey God, we'll have his blessings. But you know what? You cannot trust somebody you don't know. You cannot know somebody if all you see is their works and you don't know their ways. See, you have to know an individual, for instance, in order to love them, and in order to love them, then you trust them, and then you obey them. That's the order. The reason that Israel never found rest is because they saw the works of God. They saw the miracles. They saw the plagues on Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw all those things, but they never had rest because they didn't know the ways of God. Number two this evening, the difference between knowing the works of God and ways of God is not just the difference between rest and relapse, but number two, it's the difference between intimacy and infatuation. Intimacy and infatuation. Hey, can I say this? It's easy to be infatuated with God. And by the way, they'll come into church. They'll come into church. God will do something for them. And they may even give a testimony, preacher. They may say, well, God did this for me. And God did that for me. And they'll get all excited about that. But you know what? The same people, you know what? A lot of times they'll leave. They won't stick around. You know why that is? Because they're living by the works of God. And when God doesn't do everything just like they thought he should, a lot of times they take it out on God. Now, if I were to do a miracle here tonight, by the way, I've decided not to, amen. But if I were to do a miracle here tonight, and you were to have me back next week, you know what? You would not be able to fill everybody that would come from this area, preacher, into this church or any church in this community. You know why they would come? They want to see the miracle, right? I mean, if it was a bona fide miracle, I mean, we brought somebody up here that was crippled, and man, we healed them, and they walked out leaping and praising God. Word would spread fast in Erie, would it not? Sure it would. You know what that would be? That would be infatuation. A lot of people, it's easy to get infatuated with God. It's easy to get infatuated with the church. When everything's going well at the church, man, things are going great, and people are getting saved and all that. But you know what? Let the church have problems, and a lot of times, people will leave. They don't have genuine faith. They don't know the ways of God. You know, men and women sometimes are that way. A lot of times, guys get infatuated with a girl. They can fall in love with a dimple and make the mistake of marrying the whole girl sometimes. Amen. But what happens sometimes? What happens sometimes? Well, she becomes warped and wrinkled. He becomes bald and bulging. And the good deal becomes an ordeal, and then you're looking for a new deal. You know what they had? They had infatuation, didn't they? They're looking for a new deal. Look at here in Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse number 11. You see, Moses knew the ways of God. Moses had an intimate relationship with God. Let's see this phrase in Exodus 33, verse 11. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." You see, that's knowing the ways of God, not just the works of God. You know, we have so many people, you turn on religious television, and boy, you know, one side show after another, and people flock to that kind of stuff, looking to be convinced. Looking, man, just one thing. You know, there's a big difference between their miracles and Christ. Christ never advertised them and did them. They advertise them and don't do them. Big difference. People are looking for a miracle. They're looking to see the works of God. So they come thinking they'll be convinced. You find a crowd like that in the Gospel of John. Don't turn there, chapter 2. Jesus had just done a genuine miracle. He turned the water into wine. A genuine miracle. And the Bible says in John chapter 2 that many believed on him when they saw the miracle that he did. But the Bible says that Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And it's the same word in the Greek language. They believed on him. He didn't believe on them. And here's what it says in John chapter 2 verse 25. The Bible says he knew man and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew it wasn't genuine faith. Jesus knew people could be infatuated with miracles, but they did not know him intimately. Later on in the same Gospel of John, Jesus fed 5,000 people. And you know what happened? People flocked to him. Wow, a human cafeteria. This is great. And they followed him. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus began preaching to them about discipleship, about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You know what the Bible says? They left him. Like rats leaving a sinking ship. They were infatuated, but they never really knew the Lord. You see, Israel here in Exodus 33 was infatuated with God at the Exodus. I mean, who can't get excited about a 48-lane superhighway through the Red Sea? Who can't get excited? They're leaping and shouting and praising God. Infatuation. But it wasn't long that the same crowd that was woo-hoo was moaning and groaning and complaining. And Moses, their leader, went from hero to zero. Now, that never happens to preachers. You're the best preacher we've ever had. That preacher never feeds us. We've never heard that, have we? Infatuation. You see, it was the honeymoon when they went through the Red Sea. It wasn't long before they wanted to go home to mama. It wasn't genuine love. You see, they didn't know the ways of God. Moses here says, Lord, show me your ways. Number three tonight, the difference between knowing the works and ways of God. Number one is the difference between rest and relapse. You'll have a relapse if you don't know the ways of God. Number two is the difference between infatuation and intimacy. You'll want a new deal if all you are is merely infatuated with God. But number three, the difference between knowing the works and ways of God is the difference between being a teacher or a testifier. A teacher or a testifier. Now, the person who sees the works of God, they can be a testifier. But a person who knows God can be a teacher. Moses could teach in ways that Israel could not teach. Now, it's pretty easy to give a testimony. You see God do something, you say, hey, I saw God do something, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all that happens, then you're not going to go on and be, you know, here's the thing. God invests in us that we may teach others also. And by the way, if all you live by is the surface, you're not going to be a good teacher. You're going to have to know the ways of God. In John chapter 9, again, don't turn there. There's a story of a man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. How many remember that story? Remember that story? The Pharisees began to come and interrogate him and said, who healed you? What were his credentials? In other words, who ordained him and what Bible college did he graduate from, right? I mean, what right does he have to do all this? And then they said, is he a sinner or not? What did the guy say? I don't know. Here's what I know. I was blind, but now I see. Well, that's good. But can I say, that's not a good testimony 20 years from now. You still don't know if he's a sinner or not. You still don't know if he's the Son of God or not. No, you read there in John chapter 9, Jesus came back and taught him. Jesus came back and taught him, and the man went from being just a testifier, I believe, to being a teacher. You know, some people want to say, praise God, God saved me when I was a 9-year-old boy, a 9-year-old girl. That is wonderful. Amen. You know what? We need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond that. We need to know who God is. There's something about the very nature of God. You know, a person who can give godly counsel is the person who has the ways of God in their heart. To give godly counsel does not mean you solve people's problems for them. You know what you do? To give godly counsel means you bring them to God and allow them to have an I-thou relationship with God, to get alone with God, to have a relationship with God, to learn the ways of God and the nature of God. Number four, to know the ways of God rather than just the works of God. Number four, and this is so important, get a hold of this one, is the difference between peace and panic. Peace and panic. At the Red Sea, there was one person who didn't panic. Moses. You know why? He knew the ways of God. He knew God had led them. He knew the nature of God. And he knew God did not bring them there to let them get killed. He knew the ways of God. But Israel, buddy, I'm telling you what, if they were good at one thing, that was pushing the panic button. Right? Moses, why'd you bring us here? We did the dying. Right? You know why? Because they were all excited when they saw the Exodus, when they saw the blood, when they saw this, when they saw that. And they're still living on that level. And now when they're still living by what they see, the mountains on either side, the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh behind them, they're still living on that level. And guess what they're ready to do? They're ready to push the panic button. They didn't know the ways of God. Somebody said, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs, It's a sign you don't understand the situation. Or it could be you know the ways of God. You see, if all you see are the works of God, when the works of God don't work out just right, you know what you'll do? You'll push the panic button. Just the time you think you've got it all figured out how God is going to work, He does things strange. Let me give you some biblical examples. James was put into prison and was beheaded. Peter was put into prison. An angel comes and springs him. He walks out of prison. The doors were open. The chains fell off. Let me ask you a question. Who allowed both things? God did. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. He gets 3,000 souls. Stephen preaches, gets 3,000 stones. Did Peter love Jesus more than Stephen? Was Peter God's little darling and Stephen not? Was James less valued than Simon Peter? I'm telling you, if you get your theology from the works of God, you're going to be panicked most of the time. You need to know the ways of God. Moses said, Lord, show me your ways. Do you know the ways of God? What we need to do is we need to know God in such a way that come thick or come thin, come sun or come rain, come good or come bad, we need to be like Job that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him because I know his ways. Number five, and lastly, to know the ways of God is the difference between intercession and indifference. You see, a man who knows the ways of God is a man who can intercede for others. Now, Moses was a good interceder, but let's leave him for just a second and talk about Abraham. Abraham was an intercessor. Abraham knew the ways of God. Remember what God said? God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham said, listen, God, that is not your way. You're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. That is not your way. Abraham had such an intimate relationship with God that he was able to pray and to intercede for others. Can I say this? There's a lot of foolish praying that goes on. You know why? Because a lot of people just don't know the ways of God. They're asking God to do things that he will not do. You say, well, preacher, how can we know the ways of God? Well, may I tell you quickly how we will not know the ways of God? And may I say, we will not know the ways of God through human reason and human ingenuity. Look at Exodus 33, verse 12. It says here, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And listen, look at this. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Hey, listen, folks, there were things Moses didn't know and God didn't tell him. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Hey, listen, don't ever get to thinking that God thinks like you do. Amen. That God's thoughts are like our thoughts. His ways are like our ways. Verse 9 of Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. How is that? Immeasurable. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We're not going to know God's ways through human ingenuity. Your thoughts are never going to reveal to you the ways of God. Ways of God are many times mysterious. Psalm 77, 19 says, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. The psalmist is speaking of God. God walks in the water, but you don't see his footprint many times, the psalmist said, as he walked on the water. And listen, God's ways many times are mysterious, are they not? God leaves no footprint on the sea of life. If we were on the ocean, listen, they would not be able to conduct their charting by the path of the sea. They'd have to look up to the stars. And oh, how we need to look up. Looking unto Jesus. How are we going to know the ways of God? Not by looking around. Not by human ingenuity. Not by reasoning. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen, you know the ways of God through intimate, face-to-face dealings with God. I want to show you some verses here at Exodus 33 that speak of the intimate relationship with God that Moses had. Verse 11 again says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face-to-face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Look at verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Folks, that's what we need. It does not come by a casual observance of the works of God. It does not come by seeing God open a Red Sea for us, or it doesn't come by interrogation. It doesn't come by reasoning. It comes by an intimate relationship with God that doesn't come any other way but T-I-M-E, time with God. Amen. Time with God. I can promise you, my wife Nikki here tonight, I would trust her with my life. You know why? I know her ways. Now you may say tonight, well, I don't know if I'd trust her with my life or not. You know why you'd say that? Because you know her works. You say, well, she plays the piano all right. Well, she sings okay. She seems kind of normal. Amen. That's what others would say. Word on the street. You know what? I know her ways. I spend time with her. And I can say to you, hey, listen, I trust her with my life. How do we know the ways of God? Hey, listen, you're not going to open up some commentary and find the ways of God. There's no way you're going to see what God does and learn the ways of God. You may see the works of God. But how wonderful when God says to you in answer to prayer, my presence shall go with thee, and I will speak to you as a friend face to face. May I remind you, the purpose of all godly counsel and preaching is not to solve problems for people, but to bring them into the presence of God, that they may know God face to face. May I say to you tonight, when we learn to seek His face, not His hand, we will know His ways and find rest unto our souls. My prayer for you in 2019 is just that we would know the ways of God. I wonder how many tonight of us would gather around the altar tonight and say, God, You're no respecter of persons. If You would show Moses Your ways, certainly You would show me Your ways. God, I don't want to live by circumstance. I don't want to live by what I see. I want to know You. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. He didn't say that I may know about Him. Hey, listen, it wasn't that Paul could just recite a list of things that Jesus did and regurgitate a list of things that he memorized. He said, I don't know about Him. I know Him, and I want to know Him better. You listen to me, church. In 2019, black is going to seem white. White is going to seem black. 2 + 2 is going to seem like 5. And if you don't believe with all that, then something wrong with you. And you can mark her down. If all we do know is the works of God, we're going to be in trouble. Let me tell you how you can have rest and peace in 2019. Say, I know who God is. You say, well, it don't matter what it looks like. I know who God is. Well, this problem's come in my life. It doesn't matter. I know who God is. And I can rest in that. I can rest in that. Moses said, I'll show you my ways, and I'll give you rest. Let's bow our heads for prayer, preacher.
As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there was any time in history when Christians need to know the ways of God, it's this time in which we live. And you find the ways of God in the Scriptures. And maybe tonight you realize that you have not been spending time in the Scriptures, and you've not been spending time with the Lord alone in prayer and going over the Word and allowing the Lord to reveal Himself to you and His ways. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and spend a moment at the altar and say, Lord, I need to be more intent on learning Your ways. in the coming year. I want the rest that knowing you brings. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. My dear friend, the only way a person can ever go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And his salvation is not something you work for or earn. It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe tonight, right where you are, you would like to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive your sins and be your Savior and put all your faith and trust in what he did for you on Calvary's cross. Maybe tonight you'd like to be saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus. You know you can receive Christ right where you sit. It's a matter of a simple prayer of faith. You say, preacher, I'd like to do that. Then what I'd like you to do is look up at me. You're looking up at me because you're saying, I would like to receive Christ as my personal Savior tonight. I would like to begin an intimate relationship with him by trusting him as my Savior to forgive my sins and save my soul. Anybody like that here today? Just look up and we can pray together. It's not a magic prayer. It's your prayer of faith. Anybody like that here tonight? Father, we thank you tonight for that great salvation that you have brought to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Lord, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Father, for those in this room tonight who are saved, I pray you'd help us to realize how important it is in these tumultuous times, in this untoward generation, for us to have the rest, the peace of soul and heart that only you can give. And that comes when we know your ways and we trust your ways. I pray you'd help us in this invitation that we might come and prepare our hearts for the next coming year. We might learn your ways so we can trust you and have that rest. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that needs to be saved and they know it in their heart, I pray you'd give them the courage to come and meet me at the front so we can help them with that. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 541. A very appropriate closing hymn for tonight's message. Only trust him. Christian, can you trust him with that thing that you're afraid of, that thing you worry about, that thing that holds you back? And dear folk, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, can you trust Jesus with your soul? If you can, then you come and meet me at the front. We'd like to help you, all right? As we sing number 541.